Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice. And we've got another podcast episode for you. What's it about today, Kay?
What's it about? It's about our affirmation, I am love. We are in our final week of this affirmation for those of you who are joining us in February. For those of you not joining us in February, this was our affirmation for the month, and it was a hard one, I think.
It was a hard affirmation. It was harder than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, do you think?
Well, I thought it would be hard, but I didn't think it would be this hard or bring up so much stuff for people.
What do you think? So, like, what do you think it brought up? What do you think it brought up for you and for people that felt hard?
Well, I think it brought up, I think people went right to, I could be wrong, but they went right to self-love, I think. You know, and it's so hard for people to, I just didn't realize that everyone has a hard time with self-love.
Most people. I don't know if everybody does, though.
Not everyone, but I mean, more people than I thought.
Loving ourselves. Why is that so challenging
it's to so love ourselves? It's so sad. Like, oh no. Like,
there are some people, though, who have done the work and I think really do love themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
I respect those people. That's hard work.
Oh, that's hard. That's such hard work.
Do you think it's how they were raised, or do you think it's like something that they've overcome, or do you think it's just part of their temperament or their personality? Because I was thinking about this, like, with Rob, and I think he just has a different temperament than me, a different personality. And maybe somebody like Rob, it's easier to love himself.
Well, like, I think Mike, too. I don't think Mike's like,
I don't love myself.
Oh, no, I'm having a terrible day.
I'm unlovable.
I've locked myself in the closet again.
I'm a naughty boy.
I'm a failure and I'm unlovable. No, he's like, every day is a new day. Like, what a great day. What will we do today?
I did something I thought was really dumb last weekend, and I was like riddled with guilt about it.
As you should be.
Shut up. You're not helping my self-love, okay? And I like texted Rob and I was like, oh my God, I feel so bad. And he just laughed it off. He's like, whatever. Like, don't, I mean, and you told me, you're like, it's your puritanical background. Stop being so guilty. Stop feeling so guilty.
That's definitely inherited, like this weird puritanical guilt.
And then I think my guilt then leads me to not loving myself. I think yes, that's like my path.
That's a good point.
It's always like, whenever I feel guilty, then I'm like, I'm a bad person. How can I love myself?
That's right. Yeah, because yours is always like, but I feel guilty. I'm like, what do you feel guilty about?
I know. I always feel guilty. I'm like, I did this, or I said this wrong, or I did this. All right. Like, shut up.
Yeah. And I'm like, why do you feel guilty? Mine's more inherent. Like, I'm just fucked up. Okay.
You are.
It's like, if you just knew me a little bit better, you would know, like, it's impossible to love her. It's inherently bad. I'm inherently bad.
So but why? Like, why do you feel like it's more true to say I'm bad than I am love?
It's easier.
But what makes it easier? By the way, funny? I need to take a time out.
See?
I listened to our podcast last week, which was amazing, with Chelsea Campbell.
With Chelsea Campbell.
Intuitive eating. If we played a drinking game for you guys every time I said the word like, you all would be dead.
Oh, do you say like a lot?
Oh my gosh. I was so embarrassed. I started to count because I thought it would be interesting. And then I just got more and more embarrassed.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And feeling guilty. And then I was like, oh, did you see? I just said it right now.
Guilty.
And then I was like, and then I thought to myself, that's a better phrase. And then I thought to myself, how dare you even have a podcast? You're the worst at talking. You say like every other word. You're so bad.
See, that's all not self-love language. Well, it's funny, when I was a kid growing up, I said like all the, like it was like, and then he said like.
That's what I said on that podcast.
And my family, my sisters and my mom and dad would always be like.
My mom too, my parents too. I know. I know better.
I know better too.
I'm naughty.
I kind of like it. I like, okay?
Not as much as I would say.
I like, and I'm going to use like as much as I like. Okay?
I think sometimes too, when I'm formulating my thoughts, it's not fully developed. It's just my filler.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that podcast, I mean, I learned a lot when I went back and listened, because I wasn't fully absorbing it in the moment, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was a good one to go back and listen to again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I digress. So you're saying, why is it, what, and maybe put on your little therapist hat. Not little, it's a big hat.
I got a big head.
Put on your big old therapist hat mm-hmm. for a minute mm-hmm. and tell us, why is it easier or more common for us to think that we are not good than for us to think that we are good?
I saw this great, this makes me think like, no.
And then, like, I read, like, this really cool thing, and it was so amazing.
She was, like, crazy, like, I mean, you know.
No, that's how I talked in that podcast.
I'm embarrassed. I don't even notice that.
I am embarrassed.
But obviously, we have the similar lingo.
No. Anyways, go on.
No, you're wrong. In the beginning, you're all February. You said February funny. I wanted to say something. And now it's February.
You're a bitch. Shut up.
Anyway.
Okay, go on.
In case you want to go
please act like a professional in this moment?
And listen to it, you can.
Please. Therapist Johnston.
Okay, so I'll go back to the topic.
LCPC.
I've got some LCPC.
You got some.
I'm going to get high on some LCPC.
You got some initials. Let's use them, lady.
M-A-L-C-P-C. But I saw this post actually this morning, and it struck me. Whoa. And the post and the picture were, it had this, a teacher came, I'll tell the story behind it, takes a while, just be patient, okay, everybody, take out your LCPCs and take a few hits of it and you'll be fine, listen to my story. So the picture, no, it's not a picture, it's a story.
Okay,
wow. The story is a teacher, and she goes into her classroom. And she writes on the board before rum. They run, whatever.
You just said classroom. Did you guys hear that? Go back and listen. She just said classroom. Oh, okay. Are you drunk on rum?
It's my accent, okay?
Okay.
So she goes in the classroom and she writes on the board, the times table for nines.
Okay.
So it's like 1 times 9, 2 times 9. Yes. And she writes the answers next to them. All the way till 10 times 9, maybe.
Yes.
Or maybe 11 times 9.
Sometimes they go to 12.
No, 10 times 9. How does it work?
It just be the quiet. Nine... We know what you're talking about.
Anyway, so she does the 9 times table. But the first answer she writes, 1 times 9, she writes 7. But all the rest she writes correctly.
Okay.
And the kids watch her write on the board, and then she says, okay, here's the 9 times table. And they all, like, crack up. They're like, and she's like, why are you laughing? And they're like, your first answer is wrong. You put 7.
Oh, meanies.
And you know what she says to them? She says, this is going to be your life.
Oh.
She said, I got 8 answers right. But what did you notice?
Oh.
The one answer that was wrong.
Oh, whoa.
And it just struck me. Because that's why I don't love myself sometimes. It's almost like we focus so much on the net. We're so hyper aware of the mistake,
right?
But we're not aware of all the – she had 8 answers right.
Yeah.
And right. This is what
but
we do.
But she's also a teacher and trying to teach her kids something.
And that was the lesson. She said, this is what you're going to do in your life. Mm. You're going to see – you're going to have most of your answers right.
Right.
But many of you are going to focus on the one thing that's wrong answer. And then you're going to feel bad about it. Instead of saying, look, dude, I got 8 answers right. out of 9. That's right. Really, really good.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what we do with love. We focus on the negative. We're so hyper aware of the negative. You know, like, well, of course, when I say I am love, I'm like, well, except for that time you yelled at your kids.
Right.
The millionth time. Or the time you told your daughter she'd be a whore, maybe that time. You know, all the things that I've done wrong that then I feel like I'm lying if I say.
Right. Yeah.
I am love.
No, that totally resonates with me because I read something the other day where she said, don't define yourself by who you are in your worst moments.
Ah.
And I thought that was really good too because I do the same thing as you. I'm like, I am like, what was I thinking?
Something about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for me, it's, I'm really trying to be kind, But I think kind and love are different.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit in my head, I get confused about kindness and love.
Oh, interesting.
Because if I do something where I may not be the nicest person to, I don't know, a checkout person or whatever, you know, maybe they're annoying me and they
forget your overcharge butter.
Or they forget my butter. How dare they?
The bad butter girl. If you forget her butter.
And then let's say I lose patience and I'm trying to run and pick up my kid before the bell rings and I'm in a hurry and I timed it out perfectly and then someone is slowing me down and then I get frustrated and I have no patience.
And then you're mean.
In that moment, it's hard for me to say I am love because I feel inside dysregulated, mm-hmm. and then I may not be acting in a way in a loving manner. So there's that differentiation I think we need to make between love and kindness, because ultimately my belief, and this may not be everybody's belief, is my belief is at the core, the essence, our essence, every single one of us, even Hitler, the essence of an individual is love.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, there are many, many, many things that happen in the course of our life, whether it's, you know, trauma or patterns, behavior, blah, 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 all this stuff that then is what covers up that true nature.
That initial nature.
Of who we are at the spirit level.
Because you look at little babykins.
Right.
And they look very loving.
They are.
They're little spirits.
It's just pure spirit. It's just pure positive. It's just pure. And at a certain point, you know, things happen. And a lot of people's bad behaviors. Well, I'm watching the show Harlots, you guys, on Hulu. And it's a very, very good show. Especially shut up. Especially if you're interested in, like, the patriarchy, feminism, just the struggles that women have had basically through all of time. It's just historically. But one of the things that she said, one of the harlots, is she said, a fearful man is one of the most dangerous things there is.
Whoa.
And I thought, that is so true.
Wow.
It's usually there's something that happens that then changes our personality or changes our behavior. And that behavior, in most cases, I believe, comes from fear or mistreatment. And then it develops these behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that their essence is not love.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me? Because you're kind of looking at me like I'm an idiot.
No, I agree. I think at some point, their essence was love. And maybe whatever happens to them, or if it's a genetic component too, perhaps with some brain chemistry, neurobiology.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's
biochemical thing. You know, we see sometimes, and you know, it's that age old question: nature versus nurture, right? But I think essentially, we all start out as love,
right?
And we're just tough on ourselves. I mean, we are tough on ourselves, people, you know?
Right. But I do believe that, I mean, I think that when we say the words, I am love, it's basically affirming that our inherent nature is love.
That's right.
And that's what I think was really important for me with this affirmation. Maybe you wanted this affirmation for a different reason, but a lot of the personal work I'm doing right now and just on my spiritual journey has a lot to do with our essence. Our essence is love. Can I see that everybody else's essence is also love, even if I feel like I hate them?
That's right. That's right. And that's why I didn't want to do I am loved.
Yes, that's why I think that's why it wasn't.
I wanted
a
broader perspective on
right.
it. And when you say I am love, so much stuff comes up. We knew it was going to be we anticipated it would be a difficult affirmation. But you had to do it because it's like February, right? It's like Valentine's Day. There's hearts. there's a love, supposed to be love all around. And I think as a nation and as an individual, as a community, we all have to work on understanding the inherent quality of love.
Right. Which is what?
Which is what you're saying. Like, we're all born essentially as love. Our little spirits and souls are love. And then things happen and time transpires and our light dims, our love light dims, mm-hmm. you know, and whether, and I think it's important for us if we're trying to heal this planet and heal each other mm-hmm. and heal ourselves, we have to get back to that essential quality of love.
Right.
That we are essentially beings of love.
Right.
It's kind of like looking at a dog and being like, well, that dog's not love, you know, whatever. You know, sometimes you can see animals and I think it's easier for you to see that they're essentially love.
Right.
Versus seeing humans.
Right. Well, and you really love animals.
So yeah, I really love animals.
You love animals.
Even like a mountain peak or, you know what I mean? Like, what are the things that touch you that remind you of that, that love is just this quintessential, mm-hmm. I don't know, human experience.
Right. Well, are you saying it's just a human experience?
No, I was trying to think that. Like, is it just
a human experience? Because I know that my dog loves me. I know my dog loves me.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Right. I posted this in the community page because I think that this like sums it. This really sums it up for me. Matt Kahn, he's a teacher, a spiritual teacher. He talks about love, basically, and the importance of self-love. And when I listened to this on Leanne Rimes' podcast, I thought, whoa, like this is it. So I'm just going to read the quote that I pulled out for the community. It says, the real key to spiritual alignment, which, you know, I'm always like, well, what is the truth? Like, what is it? Why are we here? You know, all this. So the real key to spiritual alignment is not, do I know what the universe knows? It's, have I begun the process of treating myself and seeing myself the way the universe does, which I think you can very easily insert God instead of universe. And so when we are loving ourselves because the universe, source, God, whatever you would call it, is made up of the energy of unconditional love. So the energy of our source, higher power, if the energy of that source, higher power is unconditional love that we see as light, the more we love ourselves, the more we are saying, I wish to know myself as the universe. I wish to receive all of the love and support the universe always has for me. And I'm willing to make a shift to see myself more as the universe and less as the character that is a reflection of my family's need for healing, which, whoa, think about that.
Whoa.
And as we love ourselves, we are literally giving permission for the door of the heart to open and any wounds that are ready to be returned and cleared are healed and healed just come pouring out through an emotional release. And because of the laws of unity consciousness, because we're all connected on the soul level, as we heal our hearts by loving ourselves, those I love yous are planted as seeds in consciousness in every heart in existence because we are all connected. So imagine you just loving yourself to be part of your healing journey and grief pours out of your heart or guilt and shame pours out. In that moment, you are not sending love to, you are not only sending love to every person in existence, but you're also helping to heal all of what you're healing in yourself just by loving yourself more, not less. And as we continue to evolve under these most unprecedented times, we're living in a truly incredible time right now. The need for self-love is only to get more important because it's the more we love ourselves that the more we're able to respond to others from a place of compassion instead of a place of opposition. And this is really going to be the cornerstone of what really helps turn our world around. And I thought that, I was like, oh my God, I listened to that podcast twice because I thought, this is it. It's so easy to be like, you know what? I'm just going to neglect myself and I'm going to give all these other people love. But if we can realize when we love ourselves, when we give ourselves that grace and see ourselves as part of this source energy, unconditional love, then we can see that in everybody else too. And then the whole phrase of love and light, it's not some bullshit avoidance. It's like, I'm going to work really hard to do this work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work really hard to love myself so I'm not projecting my shit onto other people so that when I look at other people, I can see their pain underneath their anger so that I can see them as love, so that I can see them as something that I am also connected to, which is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big concept. I'm trying to understand it myself too, but that feels true to me.
And I think it's important to know, you know, when people talk about self-love, it's like, well, that sounds selfish.
Right. Well, and it can sound self-indulgent.
Self-indulgent. That's a better word.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to think of, oh, I need to give myself a rest day.
I need self-love blah, blah, blah. Day.
Yes. And I think there's something important in what you're saying. And she, in the 10% Happier podcast that we referenced last week's podcast, they talked about that a lot. They talked about the difference between self-care and being self-indulgent. Mm-hmm. And I think that really ties into self-love too. Mm-hmm. It's not just self-indulgent. There is a shallow level of self-love and self-care, which is like, well, I'm still going to avoid this, but I'm going to go out for lunch with my girlfriends and then get manicures.
Right.
You know, and that's still avoiding actually the tougher work of self-love.
Yes. And when you do the tougher work of self-love, then you really can connect to other people.
Yeah.
I think, and you can understand their stories better.
You can.
It doesn't mean you have to agree with their story per se, but you or agree with how they've developed because of their story. You know, it's kind of like, oh no, well that made you kill 10 people, you know?
Right.
But it makes you understand why they did what, how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that, like you were saying, it opens that door. So if there is going to be healing, if there is a chance for healing, it can be there.
Right.
Versus if you're not working on your self-love, I feel it too, because then I get all like bitchy.
Right.
You know, I'm all like, I get jealous or I get competitive or I get comparative, you mm-hmm. know, like, well, she has this and whatever, you know, she doesn't deserve it. Right. Versus like, whoa, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why are you so grumpy?
Yeah.
And essentially, if I look deeper, it's because I'm not working on my own self-love. Right. That's why I'm feeling all kind of like, you know, I'm fighting over breadcrumbs or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, back away!
Right.
This is my breadcrumb! It's like, whoa, calm down.
Well, and isn't that what we're talking about? The opposite of love is fear. And so if you're in that state of like, that's my breadcrumb.
Yeah.
You get nasty. I mean, everybody just gets nasty when they're living in a... And I do believe that the opposite of love is fear. I think, you know, just like I referenced from Harlots, that quote, a fearful man is a very dangerous thing, because usually there's an element of fear under most aggression. It's like fear is so internal, and the like external manifestation of fear is often aggression, anger. So when there's someone who has a ton of anger and aggression, it's usually because underneath that feeling is fear.
Fearful.
And does it
take that breadcrumb from me, because there's only 10 of them.
Right.
But love teaches you abundance.
Love teaches you abundance.
Like, hey, there's infinite amount of breadcrumbs, my friend.
Right.
We don't have to fight right here on this.
Right. And I'll share mine with you. Yeah. Will you share yours with me?
We'll make it through.
It's really hard to share when we're in a fear mode, when we're in a scarcity mode.
And that's the thing people have to remember. That's the importance of love.
Yes.
That's the importance of working on it.
Right.
And not just on the giving of love.
Right.
But on self-love and the receiving of love.
And that's why I think self-love is so important, because when you are in that state of self-love, it's easier to give it and it's easier to receive it.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes I'm sure you all have noticed too, if you're not feeling worthy of somebody else's love, it's hard to accept it, or it's even hard to trust it.
That's exact. I have that all the time. People are like, you know, blah, 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 they'll give a compliment, or they're just trying to say they love me. But I'm like, I don't believe it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, why is the door of my heart is closed.
Right. Well, and sometimes I also realize that when I feel like I have an agenda, it's like almost like there's not time for love. Who cares about love right now?
We can't work on love. We got like,
I'd rather
10
get this
other
done.
Things to do right now. Like, don't hug me.
Yeah, whereas like Rob, for example, he's very much able to drop into the present moment more than I am. And he's able to like, I think really, I think it is an element of love and self-love and being present. Maybe those are all tied into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This book that I recently read, it's called Diana Herself. It's about awakening to your true nature. It's a really cool book. And at the end, she's talking about this process of getting there. And step one is you've got to get really still, and you've got to listen, and you've got to slow down and think about your breathing. And one of the things she said, which I just love it, she's like, even try talking to yourself like, I think one of the examples she gave, or one of the ones that just seemed like that I really liked, was sweet girl. So when you're doing your self-talk, kid, like, now I've started calling myself sweet girl.
Aww.
And it feels like really, it feels sweet.
Oh, that's great.
You know, just, oh, it's okay, sweet girl.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a bad person. Don't worry about that, sweet girl.
Oh,
like,
that's
you would talk
good.
To somebody that you love. Like, you would talk to a child or somebody that you want to comfort. And so I do think that self-love is just a practice. And it's unfortunate that we have to practice what seems like should be our nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I unfortunately just think it's how it is.
Mm-hmm. And we saw from when we started the affirmation, there are a lot of comments about, you know, this is tough for me mm-hmm. to write these love notes or mm-hmm. to talk to myself kindly or to embrace the concept of I am love.
Right. Right. Yes. And these love letters that the community that I'm sure some of you listening have either written or received or even just thought of, it's such a gift to yourself, even when you write a love letter, I find, you know, kindness is, it makes us feel good about ourselves too. So I think it's all a cyclical loop.
Oh, that's good.
The kinder we are to other people, the better it makes us feel, then they feel good. And then it all affects things. So if you start out and you have a negative experience and you treat somebody poorly, you know, then it may put them in a bad mood, and then they may treat, you know, the next person they see.
Like the domino
lesson.
Effect.
It's totally a domino effect. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I realize that it's because I'm in a hurry, which if I then go deeper under that level, I'm afraid of not getting everything done. And then if I go deeper than that, it's like I can really trace it back all the way down to there's a fear. There's a fear of not enoughness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get enough done.
Yes.
I'm not going to have enough time.
Right.
That, it's my fear.
And what does it mean when you don't complete your task?
Right.
You know, I have this whole thing of like, well, then you're a failure. Or
yeah,
there's some deeper thing about like, I'm like, what does that mean if I don't check that off my list today?
Exactly. So then when I'm being motivated from a fear-based place, it's a lot harder for me to be in that space of love because it's literally the opposite. I'm in a space of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this like, and I don't know if it was just the timing of it, but towards the end of December, when it was the great conjunction and there's this big energetic shift, I tried it. I got in a car accident. I was like, it's totally fine. Like, it wasn't your fault. It was an accident. All these different interactions I was having, I just was so like calm and kind. And it's incredible the way people respond when you're just kind, you know, when you just slow down, when you take time for that human connection. And I realized from that experience, it feels better to live that way, but I don't always make that choice. There's something about me that I need to work through that I'd rather, in a way, get a bunch done than always make time for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that I know right there I need to just put a little more attention into
mm-hmm.
because it really changes the way situations feel when you are approaching it from love versus fear, when you're approaching it from a place of I truly want to connect with you to I'm in a transaction with you so I can move on to the next thing.
Well, and I have it like it's certain days I have more free time to work on connection.
Yeah,
weekends.
Right?
which is a weird, so like if Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday come around, I'm like, I don't have time for connection. These are my busy days.
Right.
And I almost have a rule in my head about it. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? And it versus like every day can be a day about connection.
Mm-hmm.
Every day can be a day about love,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus like, no, these are the busy days. These tasks must be completed, you know, which I do.
Right.
I've been doing to myself. I've noticed like this weird
right
weekly cycle that I've been in.
That you're in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
versus
get that too.
Like, yo, hey, what a beautiful morning.
I know.
Versus like, I wake up on the weekdays. I'm like, Oh my God.
I don't have time to look at the sky. What are you talking about? Who has time to watch the sunrise?
I'm like, how many emails do I have?
I have spreadsheets to look
at. I'm like, have I completed these things?
But I'm sure all of you listening, this isn't your thing. For whatever reason, it's your and my thing. I must get this done.
Yeah, we have the task thing.
There's a task thing. I think it's because in my mind, the more that I can get done, the more, like,
the
but
more
see, this
successful
is what I'm saying.
I am.
But this is like the messed up thing. Like,
and the better.
Some days I would just prioritize getting stuff done than making connection.
Oh, for sure.
But that's so sad.
Oh, for sure. I know. That is weird. I don't know. So that's some very sort of work, Protestant work ethic thing.
I know. Whereas Rob, oh, okay. So I am reading Michelle Obama's book, Becoming.
Becoming.
And the way that she talks about Barack Obama.
Barry.
As you all know, he's Bernice's friend from high school.
Uh-huh.
So the way she talks about Barry.
We were lovers.
Mm-hmm.
No, just kidding. Someone calls me. Like, Secret Service.
You're spreading rumors so though you know about it.
It's a joke. Okay. Calm down.
But the way that she talks about him and the way she talks about herself too, actually, how she just wants – she wants stability and predictability for her family, which is something that is also very important to me. And he's just much more able to, like, you know, stay up late and read all these papers and write books. And she was – there was one line where she said he's just comfortable going to sleep at night with so many loose ends.
Oh,
and that's how Rob is too. Point. I mean, Rob's computer has like so many tabs. His desk is such a mess. He's involved in like, I don't know that. And owns like 7 businesses. I'm like, what are you doing? He's on boards. I'm like, stop it. Because I just want, like, there's something really strong in me that wants predictability and stability. I want my kids to know like every day our family's together for these meals, you know, and I just, there was something cool where she just, the way she talks about him, you know, she's like, he has such a belief in himself and such a steady temperament.
Yeah.
That all of this like chaos can be happening around him and he's able to keep his cool.
It doesn't throw him off course.
And that's how Rob is. And so I, you know, for most of my self-reflection, I think that I'm just not as good of a person. But then now I'm starting to get to the point, and maybe this is where I'm having a little more grace for myself, is maybe we just have different personalities.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
maybe
if everybody that's just not was my like personality that, I don't type. Know if that's like all – I think we all have to be different, like, you know.
Yeah, so I think comparison is something that is a big thing for me in my ability to
personal
love and self-love.
Journey, yeah.
And comparison makes it hard for me to love other people, especially if I'm jealous of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
you
have
know?
The same thing. I'm like, I guess you're happy. You know, and then I'm like, and then Mike will be like, okay, that's not a very nice thing you just said. And I'm like, it wasn't nice.
Oh my God.
But then it's, you know, it's just one of those things where you reflect on not only the language you speak to yourself,
mm-hmm.
but the language you speak when you describe others or, you know,
right.
I think it's all interrelated.
Sometimes though, I think talking about yourself in a mean way is funny though.
I think it's fun. Well, I think that stuff is funny.
I think it's kind of funny too because then it's like, well, let's just not take everything so serious. Do we have to?
You know? And it's like when you look at couples, long-term relationships, humor is a huge thing that determines success.
Totally.
Of a long-term relationship.
Yeah. The other day Rob, I needed to get to the studio. I had to get there at 11 o'clock and I go to leave. And it turns out Rob had
the car.
No, he had his car, but then he had my keys in the car.
Oh, yeah. That was –
And we had – the house cleaner was at our house, and I called you, and I'm like, he's such a fucking dumbass. And then I was like, oh, she doesn't know me.
Oh,
she doesn't know that it's a joke. She doesn't know that I –
Love him,
you know, and then I had all this guilt, like, oh my gosh, she's gonna think I'm such a mean person, you know. It's just funny to think how, I don't know, I mean,
the language you use,
how language is important,
yeah.
And how, yes, you know, I don't know, I probably shouldn't call him a fucking dumbass, but I also really needed to get to work.
Well, and you weren't angry.
No,
when
I wasn't
you were
angry
talking
at him.
To me, you were just, it was just funny, but it was almost that release of. If there was a little bit of frustration,
I could just say
it to you.
Released
the valve a little bit.
Yeah, but then I realized, oh, there's somebody in my house who does not know how I really feel about him.
Yeah.
I just called him a fucking dumbass.
That's important for love, though. I'm thinking, like, even seeing humor when you look at yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think versus so too. Like, well, you know, you sent the wrong email three times. You know, for me, I'm just like, God, that is so, you're so stupid, B.
Right.
Like, how stupid can you be?
And then it's funny. And then you can laugh about
and
it.
And it's kind of funny after I say it out loud because it sounds funny. And then I'm realizing that you're being overdramatic about
just an email.
It's a simple mistake. Let it go.
Right.
You know, so using humor to love yourself too.
I think that's such a good reminder. And you have really taught me how to do that better. Because you do that. You're always like, you fucking dumbass. It just makes me laugh. I think it's so funny. So there's an element to, yes, calling ourselves sweet girl. It's okay. You made a mistake, sweet girl. You're still a good girl. But then also a time to be like, yeah, that was, you're a fucking idiot.
It was an idiot, but it was funny.
Like, it's funny. It's
not,
like,
it's not serious. It's not the end of the world. You didn't make a mistake that's going to cause the UN to collapse or something.
Right. Right. And I think if we can really believe this, I am love, then we can have, it's so much easier to forgive ourselves for our actions when we really understand that we are something bigger than our actions.
Exactly.
Like, we, underneath our actions, our reactions, our mistakes, our successes, underneath all of that.
Our rudeness, even, whatever.
Our rudeness, underneath our impatience.
Is a beautiful kernel.
Of love.
Of love. And that's the beauty of this affirmation. It's kind of like, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. A little kernel of love.
Yes. I think that that is so, I think it's so true. And that's really helpful for me to come back to, is you are not your actions. You're not your reactions. I mean, do we need to have accountability for our behavior?
We certainly do.
Of course we do. But I think it's easier to get along with ourselves and get along with other people when we realize there's just a massive amount of conditioning that happens.
Massive amount.
That is going to affect things like our behavior, our actions, our reactions, our you know, all that stuff.
I just have to say, we're doing this, the online training, as you all know, probably. And if you don't, you should. You can get certified online in a self-study course. And one of the activities is, one of the final activities you do during the course is to write a love letter to yourself. And I have seen the most beautiful love letters.
Mm.
I mean, the most beautiful love letters from all these new instructors to themselves.
Aww.
And it just, they're completely inspirational. Like, it's just like, you pick this because it changed your life. It got you out of that terrible marriage. Ula, you know, saved you. You started a new job. You have new friends. And you've got this, girl. You can make this happen because you're good and you love this and you love that. Oh, my God. They're just beautiful, beautiful love letters. And I think – and these are people that are just doing an online course. They're not even, like, talking to us or anything. You know, they're watching us on videos. But they are inspirational. And it just – it's one of those things. Love begets love begets love.
It does,
begets
yes.
love. So I read them and then I'm like, oh. Yes, of course. The importance of loving yourself. My goodness, how could I forget? And that's the beauty of reading these love letters, by the way, is just it just grows exponentially.
Right. It does.
Yeah, really.
It does. And it helps us. I mean, we keep saying this a million times, but when you can understand somebody else's story, you can have so much more compassion for them. It's almost like you look in their eyes and you see the layers that have shaped them. And it's, I don't know. It's fascinating to me, the power of storytelling. It's such an opportunity to find compassion for each other and for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this affirmation, I mean, I think about it every day. That's the cool thing about these affirmations is I think about them every day. I'm like, what does this mean? And how do I actually say I am love? And why does it even matter? Like, why does it even matter if I think that I'm love or not?
Yeah.
And then that is what triggers me to think, wow, well then what do you prioritize if it's not love?
If it's not love, what is it?
And yeah, it's very interesting.
It was like when I read that thing this morning, like I try every post I'm reading or different things I'm reading,
mm-hmm.
I filter into, it somehow strikes me like, is that about love?
Right.
Like that teacher, right, doing the thing on the board. And I was like, oh, that's why I don't love myself sometimes. Because of these minor mistakes that I make in my life.
Yeah.
Versus like, that's not, you're missing the whole point. You're just focusing on the one mistake out of the 9 correct answers.
Do you think this affirmation helps make it easier for you to love other people? Like, what about, let's just say, if you can think of somebody who's just been horrible to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this affirmation in any way changes your relationship to them? Do you think they deserve forgiveness? Do they deserve love? Do they deserve your love? I mean, does this change your relationship with other people? Maybe that has been hard for you to love.
I think so. Maybe I want them to have love or to have happy lives, you know, that they deserve. Our lives may not match for whatever reason or, you know, whatever happened, but I still see them as like they deserve to have a wonderful, loving, happy life, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And maybe I'm not the best person in their life,
but
maybe I will be in 10 years. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, even seeing family members or old friends, trying to think back to people like even in high school, it's weird, like people in high school that, you know, were like, I'm like, she never liked me or whatever. And now we're like, you know, 40 years later or whatever. And I'm like, she's a totally like, you didn't know her story, babe.
Right.
You know, you don't, but now I see her as an older person and I'm like, oh, she's a totally lovable being.
Right.
But she just has a different story than your story.
Right.
And she manifested it differently. She acted differently.
Right.
She wasn't the buffoon or she wasn't the entertainer.
Yeah.
Maybe she went inward. She became passive. She became an intellectual, whatever it is. But that didn't make her any less than or any or reflected anything against me per se.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how it's always like, it's against me.
Right.
It's like, no, so a lot of times it's nothing to do with you.
Right.
It's just like somehow the two people were, you know, I'm like, isn't this funny? And she's like, no, because in my life I've learned I have to be serious. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. I don't know if tomorrow's going to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, obviously you don't like me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But what about you?
I mean, I think more than anything, it goes back to, I think it's really powerful. Fearful people can be very dangerous. So.
And they're scary, kind of.
That's what I mean. People who are afraid are really, can be very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the way that I view it is if all of those people felt safe and felt loved and felt like there was enough and felt abundance and felt connection, they probably wouldn't be acting the way that they're acting. Mm. So, I think kind of like what you're saying in a way, it's like, I don't necessarily need to be in their life, that people can make decisions and, you know, move about the world in a different way than I do. But I think that if I can send them love and if the world can, if they can do healing work so that they can transition and shift energetically more towards love and less towards fear, then yeah, I think things change. I think a lot of the problems that we face in this world right now in terms of, you know, the big ones, social justice, climate change, equality, I think a lot of the inequality and a lot of the destruction that's happening is because people are greedy or they're, I don't know, selfish, blah, 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 a bunch of things. But underneath that, there's probably a fear.
Oh, yeah, they're afraid.
They're afraid.
What if this ends?
Or who am I if not an incredibly wealthy person?
What if this is taken away from me?
If this is taken away from me, who am I? What am I? I have no other feet to stand on except power and money. So if I don't have power and money.
It's like people don't want to switch out of the oil industry.
No, because they're afraid.
They're afraid. Like, what does it look like? What does that mean?
I don't know. Am I going to lose everything?
Will I lose my job?
Or the people who have a ton of money. Like, if they have created their sense of value and worth and purpose to live this life of opulence or whatever, if the fear of losing that, then they may fear who they are without that.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I without power? Who am I without money?
And what if I have to share?
If you don't know the answer to that question, it's going to be really scary to think about losing it.
Yeah.
So yes, if those people can find that sense of self-love and self-worth, that there's enough, that they are enough, Yes, that's why I think this type of work, it's not just fluff. It's not just an avoidance of doing other hard work to make change. Change has to happen on so many different levels. It has to happen in the spiritual plane. It has to happen in the physical plane. It has to happen in the intersocial plane. Like, it has to happen on all of these different levels. And, you know, you can't fix a problem on the outside without fixing a problem on the inside too. And this is inside work.
Yeah. That's why catastrophes work.
Right.
Because they hit all those planes.
Yes.
Like instantaneously.
Yeah.
You're suddenly like, whoa, I have no power.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I have no food. You know, and suddenly spiritually, physically, emotionally, intellectually.
Yeah.
You're kind of like shot.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what are we going to do?
Well, what is left of me?
What is left?
If all that I've identified with is taken away,
then what is left? Yeah.
And that's a soul
really
searching.
Makes you drop down to that, right?
You
got to
get down in there. And down in there, which I believe, not everybody may believe that, is love.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes big, huge shocks are really the best thing that could ever happen to us, because we have to learn that we are more than our job, our possessions, our status, our money, our power. We are love. And if that can become enough for us, if that right there is the driver of who we are and from what position our decisions and actions are made from, the world will change. So yes, I am love is probably the most important thing we can understand about ourselves.
Yeah, it's big.
It's really big.
Really big. And the connection to humans,
mm-hmm.
or the planet, to everybody,
to all everything, beings, all connections.
All connections. You understand, like, everything, to the tree outside, to you next to me, to the animals in the house, to, you know, you understand that, like, when catastrophe happens, you understand, like, uh-oh, I'm connected. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to go to my neighbor's house now, probably.
Yeah. Yes,
I have to
right?
say, do you have power?
Right.
And they're like, we don't. But do you guys want to get together and gather some wood from the neighborhood?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's so true.
It just drops
things
us
that,
down. Into
things that level all of the, like, I don't want to use the word castes, but it's kind of, I mean, societal.
Socioeconomic.
Statuses.
Yeah.
All of our statuses. When we can be in situations where our status is gone, where we have no power over each other because of our status, our privilege, our whatever it is, I think those are some of the most spiritually awakening moments. And that was kind of my hope for COVID when it started, you know, and there was so much talk like, well, nobody is safe from COVID.
Nobody.
And I liked that at the beginning. I had no idea at the beginning that it was going to get so polarized and so political and such a way for us to only see our separation even more. I thought a big, huge thing like COVID would make us realize I can get it. You can get it. Doesn't matter if you have $10 or $10 billion. Any one of us can get this virus. So I was hopeful that COVID would actually bring us together.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't know if we were ready yet to come together, mm-hmm. but we have to.
But it's these series of things.
It's these
happening,
series of events
know,
that are so
like,
beyond
what?
Our control.
Kind of levels you for a second, and then people who are totally fearful, they leap onto the train. They're like, okay, let's see how we can get power here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, oh, what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Or the people who are super fearful too, you know, all the conspiracy theory stuff.
Oh, it just feeds into
all the conspiracy theory stuff, you know, all that fear of like, well, I have to know that there's an answer.
Yeah.
You know, like I must know
that's
the answer to this.
Yeah.
I need to understand.
And someone's like, I got it right here.
Here it is right here. Here's why it's happening.
What if I say it 100 times? Will you believe me when I say it 100 times?
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah. And then suddenly you see how that stuff corrupts.
Yeah.
They take advantage of people's fear.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't blame people for being fearful.
No, of course not.
Scary. Scary stuff.
It's totally scary. But yeah, so much power is bred from people's fear.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, maybe this is just human nature, but why are we made like, then I'm like, why are we made this way? You know?
Right.
Why are we made this way?
Then are we made to fail?
Why are we made,
you know what I mean? Like, it's like
this way? Why aren't we made? I don't know. I mean, again, I wasn't raised religious, but I don't totally understand why we aren't just, I don't know. Nicer.
Well, why aren't we beings of light and love?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Why are we beings of light and love? Right.
Like, I don't totally get that part.
There's some survival instinct in us that, you know, it's counterintuitive to love.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's like, no.
That's not going to keep you safe.
That's my water, by the way.
Right.
Just so you know. Because we must have all worked our way up, you know, of surviving. And it's like, back away.
Right. It's like love was dangerous.
Love was dangerous, right? Somehow you had to kind of fight for stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And like love almost makes you weak or something. Like,
yeah.
You don't have all your...
Well,
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true. Yeah. I mean, I'd be fascinated to see to hear what you people think about this, because it is.
Yeah. And how this affirmation feels. Is it... A couple of years ago, we did a Let Love In workshop and talked about the three different kind of channels: loving others, so giving love, and then receiving love, and then self-love, and how for most of us, one is easier than the others, or one is really hard. You know, like, do you struggle to receive other people's love, but you just love giving it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great place to do a little introspective thinking. I wonder why I can't accept anybody else's love. Why I don't trust it. Why I don't receive it, but I sure do love giving it to other people. You know, what's that about? So I think hopefully this affirmation has given just some good food for thought to, and an opportunity to just practice. You know, these love letters have been really beautiful to the self, to the body, to today one was to nature that we read. You know, just pausing and taking a moment to appreciate and feel gratitude for the people and places and things that are so important to us. So I don't know. It's been cool, I think.
It's been cool. And I appreciate the work we have to do with each affirmation.
Oh my gosh. There's a lot of self-reflection that goes on, at least for me, with these affirmations.
Me too.
It's like, whoa.
Like everything I read, I'm like, or if I have a reaction, I'm like, whoa, that didn't sound loving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or it's like not realizing how, you know, I have so much negativity sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have thought, I mean, I think about it sometimes occasionally, but doing the affirmation really makes me be like, whoa, B, wow, a lot of negativity there.
Right.
You know, you're a good girl.
You're a good girl.
You're a good girl. You don't have to fight for, you know, love.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Open your heart.
Open your heart. Let love in.
Let love in, ladies, gentlemen, people.
We love you. You are love. Thank you for being a part of our world and letting us be a part of yours.
Yes, we really appreciate it. And we appreciate your comments as well.
We'll see you next time.